While lots of car repair places give lip service to the care and feeding of your car, only one name is on the lips of people who want to keep their cars for 200,000 miles or more.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
One repair chain is putting itself smack dab between you and the grim car reaper. Now, suppose I told you that chain has dedicated itself to helping you avoid car payments for as long as possible. I'll bet one name would be on your lips, too.
Thank you for calling Merlin. This is Don. How would you like to turn left at 100,000 miles and drive another 100,000 miles?
There's a drive for 200,000 going on at one place and one place only.
At Merlin, we care about you and your car.
Right now, you can get up to a $30 rebate on brake service at Merlin. Stop by for a free brake inspection or visit merlins.com for locations and to make an appointment.
The Bulls and Blackhawks are both fighting for postseason glory. We're the only station in Chicago ready to deliver the level of playoff coverage you crave. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Coming up to 2 o'clock and from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Rodewald with this scoreboard update. The Bulls and Cavs tonight, Game 5 with the series tied at 2 games apiece, and no lead changes in either of the first 2 games in Cleveland, but no lead is safe in this series for Joakim Noah.
I think it's the flow of the game. You know, definitely some shots that we want you want them back. You know, I mean, big leads, 8 points, 10 points. There's no such thing as a big lead. You know, that doesn't mean anything.
Pau Gasol, the first on the court this morning to work out, but he's still a game-time decision to play because of that hamstring injury. Kyrie Irving dealing with tendonitis in his right knee. Iman Shumpert's banged up. LeBron fighting off a sore left ankle after turning it late in Game 4 on Sunday. Also tonight, Game 5 in Houston with the Clippers a chance to close out the Rockets. And the Pelicans today fired Monty Williams after leading them to the playoffs. Baseball, Cubs and Mets will do it again tonight. Jake Arrieta on the hill against Noah Syndergaard. He is the Mets' top prospect, making his Major League debut at Wrigley. Cubs manager Joe Maddon talked with Spiegel and Goff earlier this afternoon.
It's more enveloping. It just the ballpark really takes on a different attitude. And of course, we had that pink out going out there, which was fabulous too. Listen, for me, I've been spoiled the whole time I've been here. It's just a new experience for me. I love it regardless. But with the bleachers, it adds another dimension.
You can hear his weekly conversation with the guys every Tuesday at noon online at 670thescore.com. Illinois Athletic Director Mike Thomas says he will look into the allegations of abuse and mistreatment by Tim Beckman. Former lineman Simon Savanovich sent out more than 150 tweets in a 7-hour span on Sunday, blasting the Illini program. Thomas, though, was careful today, saying that there are two sides to every story. And a Chicago Tribune report described a player being attacked by Beckman at practice. Hockey, the Blackhawks and Ducks wait to get the Western Conference Finals underway. East Semis holding that up. Game 6 tonight in Tampa. Lightning can close out the Canadiens. Game 7 tomorrow in New York between the Rangers and the Capitals. Also, Michael Roosevelt today. Surgery on his ankle. He'll need 4 months to recover. The scoreboard update is brought to you by Robert Morris University, Illinois' graduate school. Accelerate a master's in sports administration at RMU. And now it's time for yesterday's King of the Day, brought to you by King of Queens. Catch the hilarious comedy weeknights at 11 p.m. on WCIU The U. Yesterday's King of the Day was Chris Bryant for his homer, the first one in the new bleachers at Wrigley. I've heard a rumor that Tanny was second once again. I've heard this a rumor. I'm not sure, though. We'll have to confirm that. You've been hard successful.
That's confirmed. Is it? Oh, it is confirmed. By one vote.
One vote
again.
Boy, that's a tough streak.
The tan man. Yep.
All right. 670 weather forecast. 56 for your high today. Cloudy and breezy tonight. Partly cloudy skies going down to an overnight low of 41. I'm Matt Rodewald. You're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on the score tonight, 6:30, when the White Sox take on the Brewers on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you. NewMailMedical.com.
Boers and Bernstein at it again.
Boers and Bernstein. Afternoons on the score.
The other shoe has dropped, and Tom Brady, first 4 games, $1 million, first round pick in 2016, a fourth in 2017.
Did you see Peyton Manning had really no kind words for it? Is he really, quote unquote, a friend of Tom Brady? And I think clearly the answer is no, because he had to like, oh no. And when nobody does this. And I think, well, wait a minute. That's not true. I don't believe that for a second. That nobody does this but Brady. No. And you don't? So, in other words, you're going to tell me all these years Peyton Manning doesn't have a preference. That's what you're going to try to sell me.
All quarterbacks have a preference. It's a matter of to what extent it can be proven that they act on that preference.
Boers and Bernstein, over 15 years on 670 The Score.
Southside, here is Steve on The Score.
Help me with a situation with this LeBron James. Every time I hear LeBron James mentioned where this national tailgate is local, they always talk about how great he is. Okay, I just see a big, strong man who just knocks everybody and goes to the hole, and by the time he gets...
Then you're not paying attention.
I admit, I haven't really looked at him until the last couple of years.
You've watched the last two games, is what you're saying.
The MVPs and all that, I like to see.
He's a remarkable passer. He thinks and sees the game at that size, as well as anyone. Anyone.
All right, well, I guess I'll watch some more games, then I'll get my shoe straight on them then.
Wow.
Idiot and Bernstein.
Over there on The Score.
Dan Bernstein.
You are not allowed to be stupid.
Terry Boers.
Look out, ducks!
No, whoa.
Whoa!
I just got away.
Boers and Bernstein, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, my God. Yes, I forgot about those calls, and there was another one, too. You talk about, too. We used to talk on Boers and Bernstein about bad sports thoughts.
There were several.
Oh, for the love of God. 204, welcome in. Good time. You've been talking to your Bulls people, have
yeah,
you?
Yeah, just trying to ask some questions about some things that are going on and what's trying to figure out if what is commonly believed to be true is actually true.
Okay.
Because I like to find these things out and then pass along what I find out.
It's not as if LeBron good, is it?
Yeah, by the way, LeBron James, pretty good.
Okay, check with your Bulls people. We're not sure anymore.
Yeah, you know, we had been talking a lot about this weird Fighting Illini story and everything that's going on here, and we'll continue to. But so
yeah,
there has been this belief that as we've heard from multiple reports, Adrian Wojnarowski and others, chronicling the likelihood of a coaching change, regardless of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The one common narrative has been, well, then what happens to this locker room because they're all fighting so hard for their coach? What do you do? How do you sell that message to the key players on this team? And I asked about that. And here's what I am told. Nobody involved in this thing is stupid. Thibs isn't stupid. John Paxson isn't stupid.
No, he's not.
And the players aren't stupid. Everybody's more aware. There aren't a lot of innocent pawns in this whole thing. And I will advise you to first of all, understand that public statements made by players are just that. That they're going to say what they think they're supposed to say in any given situation. And a lot of them are going to be very, very professional about it publicly.
It's the easiest thing to do, yeah.
And don't confuse a team being together and understanding it's got a chance to win something. Don't confuse that with blind personal support for the methods of a coach. I would also advise that this undercurrent of belief that, oh yeah, everybody talks about the Bulls and how the Bulls treat their players or how the Bulls treat their coaches. Everybody talks about everything in the NBA. Nobody is unaware. There isn't much out-of-town stupid going on. For as much as people say, oh, yeah, well, how many coaches does John Paxson get? There are just as many people within the league saying, boy, Thibs really grinds on his players to win a lot of regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people. There are people who have played for Thibs who are professional but still a little resentful. Who know that they busted their ass for him and maybe at the expense of an opportunity for a huge contract because of nagging injuries. There are guys who get it. There are guys who know the complexities of what's going on. I would just say don't. It's not a comic book with heroes and villains. This is all difficult to shade in. There isn't a lot of fault here. There aren't camps. Don't tribalize it. Everybody really knows what's going on, both internally and externally. And everybody sort of says what they think they're supposed to say, but there are enough guys in that locker room right now that would do
and would understand completely why they would have a new coach next year.
Yeah, the last time I talked to my guy was probably, 2 months ago, something like that, because I don't bother with this, because everybody's got the story. And that question was a simple one about the end game of all this, because I think the end game is pretty well known. But just what John Paxson feels when he's sitting up there in the stands and he's watching games and they're having practices where Tom wants to move the practice so he doesn't have to, you know, he's not under the steady gaze of Pax. Remember that story? It's a very simple word. Is that Tom still chafes him. He just does. It's all of it. It's not one thing. It's not two things. It's all of it.
Well, there's also Tom Thibodeau is not a martyr. He's not a martyr. But there's some who cast him as this, that despite all he's done and everything, pouring his heart and soul, he's being sacrificed due to somebody's ego. He's really, and around the league, he's not really thought of that way. People get it. While people understand that the guy is, in many ways, a tactical savant, that those
many of whom had a chance to hire him, by the way, during the last.
And those, but those tactics this year. People saw a wildly inconsistent Bulls team this year. Very successful one.
Yeah.
But people saw it. People saw bad losses to bad teams, inexplicably bad quarters with them just sort of not playing. We saw it against the Bucks. We're seeing it in this series. This has been a very strange team. And this is Ball not lying. That if he were to go, most everybody in that locker room would completely understand. There isn't going to be some wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh my God, you fired coach. Rebellion. No. And with the critical guy, obviously, on most teams, you have the tone set by your superstar. On most teams, that guy is the galvanizing force, the bell cow, and all the iron filings just sort of fall in line with. But not in this case, because your superstar's too weird. That's not happening with the Bulls because this guy's in his own world. For better or for worse, there's just an oddity, an aloofness, a distance to him, a lack of connection. It's just who he is. It's just how he does his business. It's how he insulates himself. He's not like other superstars with the effect that he has. He's not like LeBron James, not like others, not talking about on the court, but just the relationships that he has with teammates because he's been away, because of the way the injuries are handled. And he goes to Los Angeles in the offseason and works with his people. And now he's got his woman with him who's stretching him out. And really, he can't have the same effect on a locker room as other stars have had on theirs.
No, he doesn't. He has little or no effect. Yeah,
because he's so strange.
Yeah, he's strange, and that's why there's we all know that, and I don't know if there's been, one lately, but we all know that if you're a player of that level, of LeBron or some of these Magic when he got Westhead fired, you can get a coach fired. I mean, you don't have to do anything other than say to whoever's in charge, none of us are happy. This is not going to work with this guy. And then next day that guy is gone. And that's never going to be Derrick Rose. So that what you're saying is true. That's what I'm getting. It's not a revolt, not a palace revolt, not anything. It's just that, Tom is weird too. Tom is weird to deal with as well. So, I mean, this will not be his last NBA coaching job.
It will be his longest tenure, however.
Probably so. Unless he carries somebody to the NBA crown.
But try not to paint
maybe
this
even
thing.
Maybe even not been then.
Just try not to paint this thing in blacks and whites and
no,
simply
oh, no,
saying
no, no, no.
this
no,
person's we, in the right and this person's in the wrong. And somehow all of the NBA world is going to react negatively toward the Bulls if they do this. Like John Paxson doesn't have friends around the league who understand exactly what's going on, who he confides in.
See, I think a lot of this has started with the last couple of years of playoffs. Not so much this one, because they're up and down just as they've been all season. I don't know what the hell to expect from them one quarter to the next, one possession to the next, really. But this started with these last couple of playoffs when, without Derek, they were clearly outmanned and just played so hard. They weren't good, but they just played so hard. They gave everything. I think it began a lot of people saying, look at this. Look at what they're doing for their coach. Look at them. They're killing themselves. Look at what they've done here.
because I had a long time with the guy after last year's playoffs. And that was a very common theme, if you'll remember. Mm-hmm. Busting your ass for him. We're not any good. No, you're really not any good. But busting, I mean, that was sort of where a lot of this started, that they, you know, this is some great loyalty to Tom. It wasn't. That's just who they are when they play that hard.
I think Jimmy Butler plays this hard for anybody.
That's what I think, too.
I think you have assembled, and they